he can understand local persons, ma, me, ajam, unborn, avya, inexhaustible. So here the word is mudha. The Prabhupada translated as the foolish and unintelligent. Why did he translate it like that? Because previously in the verse, Krishna had talked about the demigod worshippers and what he called them? Alpame, and the impersonalist he called
no intelligence.
One he called Alpamedasa and the other one he called Abhudaya. So who is the Alpamedasa? Yes. And the unintelligent? Something like that. So Krishna is not just saying he's not manifested to either of those two classes of people. You can be, for them I'm covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I'm unborn and infallible. So actually the foolish, that must be the impersonalist. And the unintelligent, well, it's hard to say. There's a number of persons he's referring to. It's the Alpamedasa's less intelligence. So that's Abhudaya means no intelligence. So that's unintelligent, foolish is Alpamedasa. What's that? No, that's in the next chapter. Yeah, that's Avijanandi Manuga Mano Shindanam Ashitya. I mean, same thing. But there's varieties of fools and rascals. It may be argued that since Krishna was present on this earth and was visible to everyone, then why isn't he manifest to everyone now? Did anyone ever hear that question before? I'll read. What was the question? Krishna and Nandini.
Why Krishna
here
now? To everyone now?
Yaroslav. How do you pronounce your name again?
Yes.
Yeah. Yasminka. Yasminka. What did I just read?
Krishna was manifested before, why he's not manifested now?
Right.
Why we cannot see him
now, right. Yeah. So, did you ever hear that before?
Sometimes.
Yeah. But probably saying, it may be argued that since Krishna is present on this earth and was visible to everyone, why isn't he manifest to everyone now? So this is just a question. Maybe a lot of people don't answer it, but this is a question. But actually, he was not manifest to everyone. When Krishna was present, there are only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the assembly of Kurus, when Shishupal spoke against Krishna's being elected president of the assembly, Bhishma supported him and proclaimed him to be the Supreme God. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the Supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that for the pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. He was manifest only to his devotees as the reservoir of all pleasure. But to others, to unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potency. In the prayers of Kunti, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.8.19, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. This Yoga Maya curtain is also confirmed in the Ishupanishad, Mantra 15, which the devotee prays. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihita mukham tatvam pushana pavrenu satya dharmaya drishtaye. O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the yoga maya, maya. The Brahma-jyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Sat-Chit-Ananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his transcendental form of bliss and knowledge is covered by the internal potency of the Brahma-jyoti. The less intelligent impersonalists cannot see the Supreme on this account. Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.7, there is this prayer by Brahma. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, O Master of all mystery, who can calculate your potency and pastimes in this world? You're always expanding your internal potency, and therefore no one can understand you. Learned scientists and learned scholars can examine the atomic constitution of the material world or even the planets, but still they are unable to calculate your energy and potency, although you are present before them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is not only unborn, but also avyaya, inexhaustible. His eternal form is bliss and knowledge, and his energies are all inexhaustible. Naham prakasha sarvasha yoga maya samhavitaha mudho yam nabhi janati loko mam ajam avyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. To them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Om Vishnu Viraya Krishna Prasadaya Srimati Bhakti Viranta Swami Tanamade Namaste Sarasatrandeve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shmivari Paskatya Deya Satarane. Where else have we heard this unborn and infallible before? About knowing Krishna. In the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, what is text 10?
I mean, those who know me is unborn and infallible, they are ajam nityamsha kato. No.
Close, getting there. How do we become eligible to enter into the spiritual world? What do we have to do? What do we have to know? Yes, that's it. What is that? Loud? Good. So we have to know janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyakva turana punarjanma naiti mam eti sarjana. So Krishna's janma. What is Krishna's janma? It's explained in this verse. What is the word used here? Krishna Anandini, you have it. You have to say it in a loud voice.
Ananda blessings will be.
I'm just got it. What in this verse? I just read it. It's Ajam. What does Ajam mean?
Unborn.
So we have to know Krishna's janma is what?
Born.
He's born. Unborn. Ajam, unborn. He appears to be taking his birth, just like the sun appears to take birth on the horizon every morning. But do we think that the sun is actually giving birth every morning on the horizon? No. Who thinks the sun is taking birth every morning? The horizon is giving birth to the sun. No, we know it's Ajahn, unborn. So, knowing Krishna's birth is unborn. He appears to be taking birth from the womb of Devaki, but actually he's just appearing by his internal energy. What is the verse in Bhagavad Gita that says that Krishna appears by his internal energy? Which is? Prakritim. Sambhavam. Yes. Atmamaya. He's appearing by his internal energy. And here the word is avya. So what is his janma karma? What is his karma? What's that? Yes, and what is it described here as his karma? What kind of karma does Krishna have? Activities? Everyone at once? All different. Raise your hands, maybe. That. Okay. Yes. Well, because that says in verse. Divyam. And we hear what does it say in this verse? What is Avyam translated as? What's that?
Not being manifested.
Avyam. That's Naham Prakasha. Prakasha means manifest. So Naham Prakasha. I'm not manifest. So what is not manifest?
Presence?
Oh, yes. Not bad, I mean, it's just, but. Yes.
Not materially manifested.
Well, here we're just reading the verse. Krishna is not manifested. What's not manifested? What people don't know? People don't know what his birth and activities are. They don't know that he's Ajahn, he's unborn. They think he's taking birth just like an ordinary person. Just like people who come to the temple, they think the deities are just like ordinary statues. They don't know what the activities are. They don't know Krishna's activities are avyam. They're inexhaustible spiritual activities. Or here it's also translated as infallible. That Krishna's activities, it's not that you chant Hare Krishna and Krishna's asleep. You chanted Hare Krishna really sincerely, but because he was asleep, he didn't hear you, so you don't get the result. No, Krishna is avya. His activities are unlimited, inexhaustible, infallible, achyuta. He never fails in reciprocation with his devotees. So one who knows that, janma karma chame divyam, that he both his birth, and his activities are divyam, they're transcendental. So those who are covered by the external energy, they can't know these things. Prakasha, sarvasha, to everyone. So who's covered by the external energy?
Most people.
What's that? Yes.
Yes,
the foolish and unintelligent. In other words, anyone who doesn't know Krishna, they fit into the category of foolish and unintelligent. Mostly people in the modes of ignorance and passion. We've seen the word, or here is muda, which is foolish. Or even those who are less intelligent, alpa buddhaya. They can't know these things. In other words, anyone who's not a devotee of Krishna, who's not engaged in devotional service, they must be considered, to some degree, foolish and unintelligent. Abhijanati, janati, loka persons. So here it says, I'm covered by my internal potency. So why internal potency is used here? Yoga maya. Wouldn't we like to be covered by our internal potency? By Krishna's internal potency? Why is yoga maya? Maya used here. Because yoga maya, Krishna has one energy called yoga maya. But sometimes yoga maya acts to cover us from Krishna, and sometimes yoga maya acts to reveal Krishna to us, depending on what we want. It is not that, just like the sun, even when it's sometimes here in Radha Desh, even the sun's out in the sky, it's still cold. Even sometimes you see the sun, it's still cold anyhow. And sometimes, in another place, it's always warm. The sun is always warm. So that's not that the sun, in one place, it gets hotter. In another place, it gets cooler. The sun always remains the same. It's not that the sun... No, the sun is always the same, but our perception of the sun, according to where we are, seems to be different. Or it's different. So the sun always remains the same, but our perception of the sun will be different. So certainly, Krishna is always the same, but according to our desire, our eligibility, our adhikar, then we perceive Krishna differently. There's the same energy, sometimes it serves to cover Krishna, and sometimes it serves to reveal Krishna, depending upon what we want. Savasya chaham ridhi sanavishto matak smritir jnanam apaunanta. I never, what does that mean?
I'm situated in everyone's heart.
Yes. Rindu
Devi. And for me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness.
Yes. Good. So is that bad? What about apaunanta? For the devotee, the devotees have remembrance, the non-devotees have remembrance. The devotees have knowledge, the karmis have knowledge, or the non-devotees. The devotees have forgetfulness, and the non-devotees have forgetfulness. So for everyone, Krishna is doing the same thing, but there's a difference in each case. Just like for the devotees, how does Krishna give the devotees forgetfulness? Raise your hand and think of something careful. How are the devotees to have also forgetfulness? What do they forget? What do the devotees forget? Yes.
That Krishna is God.
The devotees forget Krishna is God. That's very unfortunate. No, the devotees do not forget that Krishna is God. Yes.
You never forget what others do, like maybe Kanishka devotees.
Okay.
Faith.
At least you're trying. The devotees forget material conceptions of life. Just like we've had so many conceptions of life, so many material experiences, and if we remember them, we'd never be able to remember Krishna. So Krishna helps us forget all our past material experiences. So that's quite fortunate. And he helps the non-devotees to get all their spiritual experiences. So forgetfulness is there for both the devotees and the non-devotees. But it's different. The devotees have knowledge of Krishna, and the non-devotees have knowledge of the material energy. The devotees have sava-sacham riddhi sanivishto madak smritir. Devotees remember Krishna, and the non-devotees remember maya. So in either case, Krishna is giving everyone remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So for the non-devotees, they're Krishna, they can't see Krishna, although it's the same Krishna. They can't see that Krishna is right before them everywhere. Otherwise, they become very disturbed. They realize that they've never escaped Krishna. He's trailing them Just like we can't escape our shadow. Doesn't matter how far and fast we run, it follows us. So we can, no one can ever escape Krishna. Because nothing can happen without Krishna. Just like we're thinking this is our energy. But no one has ever created any of this energy. It's all coming from Krishna. He, at the beginning of creation, manifests the energy from His energy. And He sets us in this material world, and we're also expansions of Krishna. And He's the one who did it. And He controls material nature. He's the one who's aware of all our desires. He's the one who arranges everything. So, if the non-devotees understood this, they couldn't be non-devotees. Or actually, they'd become very disturbed. They wouldn't know what to do. Because the person they're trying to kill is everywhere. And they can't kill him. They'd be completely anxiety. Well, of course, they're already in anxiety. But they'd be very, very upset. So Krishna's very kind to them. He hides himself from them so they don't realize that they're only dealing with him. They're trying to kill him, they're trying to get him, they're trying to go away from him. They can't do it, but Krishna creates a situation where they think they have done it. Just like a rabbit. When a rabbit is cornered by a big animal, it closes its eyes and within itself starts thinking, the animal has gone away, the animal has gone away. Unfortunately for the rabbit, the animal has not gone away. Or the ostrich, you know an ostrich? When an ostrich, it has a big body and a little head, long neck. So, when a big animal attacks an ostrich, it looks for a hole to put its head in. So it thinks that now I'm safe. I'm in the hole. It doesn't realize that it's about to be attacked. This big body is going to be attacked. So that's less intelligent. So similarly, in the material world, everyone is under Krishna's control. Everyone is being influenced by Krishna's energies, but the less intelligent think that they've escaped Krishna, that they're in a world where there are gods, where they're the controllers, and they're going to have a good time here, and they've left God far away. Far behind. But it's actually not true. So therefore they're considered mudhas. And of course this is not the only verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna will try to lead us to the verse Yesham Antikatam Pabam Jana Puni Karmana Te Vanva Mamanir Mukta Pujante maam dhridha rataha. That there's a process to get out of this foolishness and unintelligent situation that one is in, and that is by following Krishna's directions. Either in the beginning, even if one is not very conscious of Krishna, just by following his directions in the Vedas, regulating the senses, coming to the platform of mode of goodness, accepting devotional service, or gaining knowledge, accepting devotional service, and eventually rising up to the platform where one can see Krishna everywhere, meditating in trance upon Krishna and seeing Him everywhere. Therefore, we should understand with proper vision, practically speaking, how anyone who is not a devotee is actually less intelligent. It is not, Prabhupada would say, it's not simply our religious, fanatical opinion that unless you become a devotee of Krishna, then you're unintelligent. When Prabhupada used to say, rascals and fools, it wasn't that Prabhupada was frustrated, had a grudge against someone, had to take it out, so he started to curse people, criticize people. But, as Prabhupada would say, he's simply repeating Krishna's words. And if we believe that Krishna is God, then He knows quite well why people are less intelligent. Because they can't see, for instance, that this big ball of fire floating in an orbit, precise orbit, which is unduplicatable. There's such a word in English. It can't be duplicated. No one can even begin to manifest or create anything as exact as the movements of the sun within this universe, and yet the sun is inconceivably powerful and bright and full of energy. Now the question is that anything which has, they say that the scientists say that the sun planet is millions of degrees and is fire emanating from the planet of the sun, with each, some of the flames of the fire bigger than the earth planet. So what's controlling the sun in such an exact orbit, such a precise orbit, that for thousands of years they can say exactly where the sun, the person who's calculating this, no one knows where he's going to be in the next 3 minutes. The so-called intelligent scientist who's claiming that he knows everything, no one knows where he's going to be in the next second. But the sun, inconceivably powerful, can be calculated where the sun's going to be exactly in millions of years from now. So who has created such a precise instrument as the sun in its orbit? So it must be an inconceivably powerful personality, which is controlling an inconceivably powerful sun planet, plus all the other planets. But because we don't like to think that anyone's greater than we are, the scientists and all the others, they immediately say, this is not possible. Because if it was possible, then we're all wasting our time here. Trying to compete with such a powerful personality, it's not fair. It's not democratic. Therefore, because it's not democratic, it's not fair, therefore it can't be true. Of course, it's not logic and reasonable. Probably gives the example of the frog in the well. Dr. Frog cannot conceive of anything bigger than his well, and therefore he concludes that it can't exist. Or if it does exist, it must be measurable by my well experience. And of course, his friend trying to describe the greatness of the Atlantic Ocean. When Dr. Frog tries to duplicate it, he finally bursts. Because he cannot conceive of the Atlantic Ocean from his very limited experience. He would have to go there and see it. Certainly, if we try to figure out what Krishna's birth is, what his activities are from our limited experience, from our intellectual platform, then we'll simply become, or our mental platform, we'll simply become even more bewildered than we already are. To try to understand what Krishna's activities are when he comes here and displays his pastimes even on this earth planet, try to understand it from our limited point of view, will not be able to understand it. That one has to take to the process, janma karma cha nedhyam, which gives one transcendental experience, which of course is bhakti. No one can force Krishna to reveal himself. The very desire to bring God down to our platform of experience means that our whole conception of God will remain on a material platform. Because we're here, because we're trying to make God into something material. We're trying to bring God to our material conception of life. We're trying to become at least as good, if not better than God. We want to control God by our own enjoyment, whatever. Therefore, one has to take to a transcendental process where one develops love for God. Just like if you want to know a great man, If you want to know the President of the United States, you can't just burst into his room and say, hey, reveal yourself to me. I want to know all that. I'm here to find out your relationship with all your friends and how you really get on with your wife. And said, you just can't break into the White House and say, I'm just a little interested. Reveal yourself to me. No, his guards will arrest you. You'll probably have a very unpleasant experience. So certainly God, who has created billions and trillions of presidents, of Brahmas, try to break into his Chintamani palace and find out what he's doing. It's not going to work. That one has to develop. But if you become a friend of one of the president's friends, then he can introduce you to the president and his wife and his family, and you can know all about it. So there's a technique of getting to know someone. And it's not by demanding that they come here and tell you all about them, especially a powerful personality. Maybe you can do that with your cat or dog, because we have control over our cat and dog, but you can't do that with a powerful personality. So if we want to know Krishna, we have to become friends with his friends, and the process is by being friendly, devotion. Then we can know something about Krishna. Otherwise, other techniques to know God will not be successful if people are at all interested in knowing God. Most people are interested in forgetting about God and pretending that they themselves are God. But even one who's interested in knowing something about God, there's a process to know him. To know, and then if one does know him, then one will find out that he's not a product of the material world. He didn't take birth like we did. His activities, when he displays them in Vrindavan, when he displays the activities described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, are not like our activities. Someone taking birth in material nature, being impelled by the modes of material nature to act in different ways. His activities are divyam, are transcendental or divine. And his activities are not impeded by anything in this material world. They're avyam, they go on perpetually. There's no, when he comes to the material world, he can do anything he wants. Although he comes here out of kindness with a conditioned soul, and he displays activities which are just appropriate for our benefit. But there's no limitation to what he can do, and he's doing these things everywhere, always. He doesn't get tired. It's not that after, with his transcendental lila, he has to take a break. He's going from one universe to the next, finally says, well, this is too much. I need a couple of, yugas off. No, he's been doing this since time eternal, time immemorial, and he's not tired. You can't see, oh, poor Gopinath, working so hard. Although he may display this pastime of going to sleep sometimes, yoga nidra, but when he goes to sleep, it's not like our going to sleep. When he goes to sleep, his dreams are these universes. When we go to sleep, our dreams are not so powerful. Therefore, in no way Krishna is anything like we are. Although we are something like Krishna, the fact that as we have a loving propensity, so Krishna also has an unlimited loving propensity. Here we're trying to love matter, but there Krishna has no attraction for matter. It's simply he's manifesting it due to the desires of the souls, but his loving affairs are always with his eternal liberated souls who are reciprocating with him directly, purely out of love. Therefore these things have to be understood. Why Krishna is saying that the demigod worshippers are less intelligent, why the impersonalists have no intelligence, because they never get to know Krishna, and without knowing Krishna, about Krishna's activities, then our activities are always limited to this dead material energy, which there's no progress, there's no profit, there's simply endlessly struggling in the material world for a happiness that can never be achieved. Therefore, anyone who's struggling for something impossible, they're certainly foolish and unintelligent. One should try to do something which is practical and possible, And if we want happiness, pleasure, then we should try and do it in a way which is intelligent, and that is by taking to the process of devotional service to Krishna. So I'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, Krishna.
I've experienced that people in this age, they are so passionate, they don't want to accept Krishna consciousness because for them it's so slow process. They want to get everything very quick in 1 minute, you know, because of passionate people.
Yes, not only them, but we too. Because we can get Krishna in a moment. That's a nice thing. One can get Krishna in a moment, or we may not get him after millions of years. It's only a question of understanding and accepting the fact. Prabhupada writes, you can chant Hare Krishna once, immediately Krishna will be there. But we have to do it without any offense. So that may take a little time to learn how to do it, chant Hare Krishna offenselessly. But as we become as our chanting becomes purified, then gradually we become progressively more aware of Krishna. It's not all or nothing. But it's in proportion to our sincere desire to follow the process, understand the process, and follow the proper move. Yes, people want something quick, and they can get Krishna quick if they really want him. The problem is we have to develop the desire for Krishna. But still, what else is so easily available as chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Immediately people get Krishna. And Srimati Radharani, they get everything immediately. As much as they want Krishna, as much as the process works immediately. So it's such a nice process. And everything else will never work. They take medicine because they want to get well, healthy. But they'll never be healthy because everyone dies. Dying is not very healthy. Everyone's dying at every moment. And yet they want to be healthy. One can feel a little bit better by this process, but ultimately when you die, you don't feel so good. Therefore, nothing is achievable here in the material world, permanently, temporarily, but ultimately nothing just works in the material world. Just like America or any other country may defend itself, but everyone there dies anyhow. Even if the terrorists don't get us, time will. So it doesn't matter how you surround America or Belgium. You can put everyone can have a gun in their hand, but when the Yamadutas come, what can you do? Can't shoot the Yamadutas. So the only protection is Krishna consciousness. And that's the only thing that works, and it works immediately. Everything else doesn't work. Anything else? Yes. Thank you.
You were saying, Maharaj, that people are trying to forget Krishna. One of the things you mentioned when I hear this, I always have a little problem to understand how it is possible in that sense, because, and as you were speaking, I realized that maybe this is because what we are trying to forget is our conception of Krishna. So we think Krishna is to us. It's not that. Because Krishna is so wonderful, I cannot possibly think how could one possibly want to forget.
Well, for instance, it's not that everyone all the time is trying to forget Krishna. But say you want to do something bad, which is not in Krishna consciousness. Say you want to go, use a mild example. You want to go and see a horror movie. So then you have to think, The super soul is my heart. He's going to watch me watching the horror movie. I'm not going to be able to enjoy the horror movie. So maybe I better forget for a while that the super soul is my heart watching me and just pretend he's not there. Otherwise, how could we do it? A devotee who leaves the movement, the first thing he does is usually take intoxication, trying to forget everything he knows about Krishna. Otherwise, how can you enjoy it? Isn't that right? If you knew that there's a little person inside my heart, he's watching everything I'm doing, I'm going to get a reaction for it, and it's embarrassing. Then you have to forget, then you have to pray, oh Krishna, go away. Otherwise, how can I be happy trying to enjoy it? You're there watching me. Isn't that right? Otherwise, we walk out of class and we start thinking, is he really a Christian? Does he really exist? Is he really watching me? Do I really have to do what he tells me to do, even if I don't want to do it? That's if we think like that. Usually it's spontaneous. We don't even think about it. We're so practiced to forget Krishna. We don't have to think about forgetting it. It just happens automatically. And then we just feel we're free to do what I feel like doing it, which really means I'm free to do whatever the material nature dictates me to do. But as soon as we stop doing what the material nature dictates to us to do, we start feeling this pain in our heart. You know, oh, this feels very uncomfortable. You know, I don't really feel very good. I want to, you know, I'm trying to think about to serve Krishna, but I feel this pain in my heart. And the material nature is telling me, don't serve Krishna. You got to do this. I'll never let you go. I'm just going to bother you. Do this. And then finally, okay, I'll do it. Just so I don't have to feel this anxiety anymore to do that thing. So the material nature is yoga, chalati, manasa. Will tell us, you better do it. You better forget Krishna. You better do what I tell you. Or else you're going to feel this pain in your heart. This tricky place. Terrible. Therefore, Krishna says, yataragre vishaniva parinayam ritopamam tatsukam satikam prodam atmabuddhi prasadaja. That which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, and the end is just like nectar, which awakens one to self-realization, say to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So one has to learn tolerance. Tolerate this urge to forget Krishna, actually. This urge to be independent. This urge to serve Maya, this illusory energy.
So is that, when you were when Krishna manifests, he still, as I was saying in the verse, he still can be covered with his internal potency, and although we are, so to say, seeing.
Yeah, just look at Gopinath. How many people come in here, like Lord Chaitanya, when he went into Jagannath Puri, as soon as he saw Lord Chaitanya, he fainted in ecstasy, in Mahabhava love, so that all his, he practically appeared to be, have left his body. He was so ecstatic. How many people have seen that when the visitors enter here to see Lord Gopinath? They all fall down, their breathing stops. They're so ecstatic, so much in love. But this Lord Gopinath, he is Krishna, Sakshat Hari, exactly Krishna. So to different degrees, as we're executing devotional service, sadhana bhakti, or just devotion, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, as much love as we put into it, then Krishna reciprocates. As much attention and enthusiasm, then Krishna reciprocates. And then we start realizing that it's not a statue, it's Krishna. We're looking at Krishna, all here is a statue, and Krishna's looking at us, oh, my poor children, they're really bewildered. At least they're here trying to come to me, so still there. I just hope it makes a little progress. So Krishna, he's enjoying his pastimes with with Shrimati Radharani and the gopis on the altar. And we're thinking of little statues, really. Whatever we may be thinking. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, it sometimes seems to me that there are doubts which are not on the intellectual platform necessarily, but as you said, to tolerate the urge to forget Krishna is something which requires a lot of security, like emotional strength, to tolerate like my incompleteness, my you know, impurities. I have to kind of accept my own shortcomings in order to tolerate this friction of not being completely Krishna conscious. So in order to go through this stage of anatta nirvritti, I need a lot of emotional support, it seems, which not necessarily only comes through reading shastra, like emotional doubts, like will I be taken care of, and what if the devotees are not nice to me, like will they say,
well, if we're in ecstasy, all our doubts will be taken care of.
Yes.
We actually feel Krishna's presence and feel the bliss associated with Krishna, then we won't have any problem at all. We have to develop the... If we're actually going through an anatta nirvritti, that means as we're performing devotional service for the right mood in the right way, then Krishna will reciprocate. And by Krishna's reciprocation, by coming in contact with Him and His internal energy, and our heart becomes purified. And all the doubts are removed. Emotion. Then we actually feel what real emotions are. And we'll feel our own emotions. We'll feel Krishna's emotions. And then those emotions will be so much superior to the other emotions that we'll forget about the other emotions. They won't bother us anymore. We won't even remember them. We can't even remember what they were.
Bliss up.
What's that?
Bliss up.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Krishnaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Gopinatha Lita Vishaka Ki Jai, Lord Jagannath Lord Baladev Srimati Subhadra Devi Ki Jai, Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai, Shri Gaurangatai Ki Jai, Shri Giri Govardhan Ki Jai.